Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenters.com. Very pleased to have with us State Senator Wes Clymer, who has worked us into his very busy schedule as he prepares to become the marathon man.
That's right. Yeah, we got.
You really going to do this?
I got an email about it from the event sponsor yesterday that said it's 1 month away, and that was a very daunting email to have received. I mean, kind of puts in sharp relief my lack of preparedness to go out there and hammer down all those miles.
I will vouch for everybody that you've been coming to the Y and you're doing your weight training and what have you.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with you. One day I'll get there.
Well, let me trust you, pal. I don't think I can run 100 yards anymore, 26 miles.
I don't know. I mean, Manny,
you're really going to
put on a pretty good workout in the mornings there at the Y.
You're really going to do this?
Yeah, we're doing it. Marty and I are doing it together.
Is this something she said you will do with me, dear?
No, we just talked about it. We both wanted to have a goal on our training. And so, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, we decided that we were going to go do this. And so it's in Kiowa, and so it's all flat. You know, it's an ocean level.
And you're going to run around the island several times?
Yeah, just run around the island. Yeah.
And then collapse.
And then the next time you see me, I'll be in a wheelchair.
Have you ever done a long-distance run like that?
I think the longest I've ever done is 10.
10 miles.
Yeah. And I'm not doing a whole marathon this time. This is a half.
Just a half?
Half marathon.
Are you all going to do 13 miles?
13, yeah. Okay. And then probably...
Marty's going to do...
No, probably do a whole one in the spring. I mean, I feel like if we've already gone through all of this, you know, I love running, but it does become... It's work at some point, right? If you've already gone through all this training... Might as well just do the real thing.
Well, I thought you were getting shaped for the next legislative session.
Well, I got to keep up with my kids. That's really the main.
You got five of them.
I know, and they're fast.
Well, you can give that up, Jerry. You're never going to keep up with them. Their legs are a lot lighter, and they don't have as much weight to carry around.
I lumber, and they glide. You know, you watch kids running around like that. They just glide across the earth. It's amazing.
How old is your oldest?
Jack will turn 13 in about a month.
13. And the youngest?
Will turn 5 in a couple weeks.
Ooh, well, yeah. Good luck to you, buddy.
That's a good time.
That's a good time. Good for you. All right, so let's talk about the upcoming legislature. By the way, you've been for people who have not met you,
yeah.
You've been in the legislature now how long?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Is the process what you thought it was going to be when you first got into this?
So... Most of us, you know, if you're an observer of politics, you mostly observe what happens in Washington, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's what the news covers.
Right.
And so an upside surprise in the General Assembly is that unlike in Washington, legislators in Columbia treat each other with dignity and respect most of the time. And unlike in Washington where, I mean, even subcommittee meetings that people don't pay attention to, all of that is theater. At the subcommittee and the committee level in Columbia, substantive policymaking happens. People listen to one another, try to learn from one another, and statutes evolve as a consequence of a deliberative process. Whereas, you know, most of the government that we observe in Washington, again, all theater and decided in leadership offices.
Partisanship.
Yeah.
Is that very... I don't know. In Washington, you're either going to vote, you know, red, or you're going to vote blue. You're not going to say the other side's issues and thoughts and maybe join in on it.
Yeah.
Is that what do you see down in Columbia?
There are sharp ideological divides among legislators, and there's no papering over that. But those ideological debates are conducted courteously. One, and two, because of the kind of unique nature of the Senate being a body where a single senator has fairly considerable powers in stopping a piece of legislation. Most of the legislation that is passed is done so unanimously.
Okay.
And it's rare. I mean, there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 bills a year that are that get really sharply partisan, but the overwhelming majority of the legislative process is consensus-oriented.
Well, a big issue that really reared its head here past this past Tuesday was the abortion issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we could see very clearly that the Democratic Party has jumped on that, and it's caused them to be very victorious in these off-year elections. So in South Carolina, and you're going to have to bring me up to speed on this, we've been back and forth over a number of different things, court challenges and what have you. Are we back to the 15-week?
We're at six weeks? We're at detection of a heartbeat.
Okay, yeah, whenever that is.
Which is typically 6 weeks.
All right, six weeks. Okay.
Yeah. And that has been upheld by the court.
Our court?
Yeah, the South Carolina Supreme Court overturned it, and then the General Assembly came back and you know, sort of modified it, modified the law to better comply with the Supreme Court's interpretation of the Constitution, enacted a new heartbeat law, and then the Supreme Court recently upheld that newer version of the heartbeat law. However, it bears mentioning that that law is being challenged again on different grounds, this time having to do with the definition of a heartbeat. There are some debate. I don't know how meaningful this debate is. I mean, this doesn't seem like a very reasonable debate to me. I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dried. But there are some who argue that the electrical impulses that constitute a heartbeat at 6 weeks aren't actually a heartbeat. And so they're suing to say that the interpretation is incorrect and what the General Assembly actually meant was a different kind of heartbeat that happens later during a pregnancy. And that's just obviously false. Wow. But that case is currently pending.
Okay. So that has the normal exceptions in there, you know,
yes,
for rape and what have you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So it seems to me, and I'm a pro-life guy. I admit that. But I also realize that there's going to have to be some kind of compromise in this country if we're ever going to move forward on this thing.
Right.
And we seem to be as divided now as we ever were.
Sure.
And this seems to be a very reasonable compromise. I don't get why we can't find a way to come together on this thing.
I mean, there are efforts will be made to further modify that legislation, you know, over time. But I doubt anything will get serious consideration in the General Assembly for probably a few years to come.
Okay. So, bottom line is, in this state right now, if you want an abortion, you're going to have to go someplace else. Period.
After 6 weeks.
After six weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take on another issue. So much easier.
But I would say, you know, instead of going to another state to get an abortion, if you feel like that's, you know, you really ought to go to the Palmetto Women's Center down the road in Rock Hill and seek care and advice and counseling from them, because that is a much superior alternative to driving hundreds of miles to kill a child.
You know, it's interesting to me why we don't, as a country, don't focus in on adoption.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many parents, I mean, couples out there that would love to have a child.
Yeah.
And is there some way we could change the mentality that if you don't want this child, that's fine, bring it into the world, and then, you know, we'll give it some parents that want to take it on.
Absolutely. And really to the speaker's credit, Speaker Merle Smith from Sumter, he led the way on some improvements to the adoption laws that make it easier and more accessible for more families. Less costly, more streamlined process, and probably the General Assembly should take a serious run at offering more incentives for couples to adopt, because it's obviously a superior alternative to ending a child's life.
Let's talk about something else. Judges.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation that our system of putting judges in place is crazy. In South Carolina.
Yeah.
They have to come down and glad hand and talk to you.
Oh, yeah, you have, you know, justices of the Supreme Court chasing legislators through the parking garage.
It's crazy.
I mean, it is a very bad system.
It's demeaning.
Demeaning, yeah, to the judiciary. And it is at that, you know, justice of the Supreme Court chasing a legislator through the parking garage is evidence of the fact that in South Carolina we do not have a co-equal branch of government in the judiciary. I mean, our sort of civics 101, what all of us learned in middle school is, in America, you know, the founding fathers laid out three competing co-equal branches of government, a legislature, an executive, and a judiciary.
Right.
And in South Carolina, because of the manner in which judges are selected, the judiciary is really an appendage of the legislature.
Right.
I mean, because the legislature hires, the legislature fires, and if Manning, if you can hire and fire me, that makes you my boss. And so what we ultimately want is a system of justice where we have equal justice under the law. And right now, if you are in court opposite a lawyer legislator, particularly a lawyer legislator who serves on the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, your likelihood of receiving equal justice under the law is undermined. And so we need to fix that.
Okay. So is there any, what would you say, taste for this down there? I mean,
yes.
This has been ballyhooed back and forth for years and years.
Yes. I think that the Senate will consider judicial reform early in the next session. I've spoken with a substantial majority of senators over the past few months who want to do that early in the next session. I have a lesser degree of confidence around what the House might do. But as far as the Senate is concerned, I think the Senate will enact meaningful judicial reform in 2024.
And that reform will take what form?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of different alternatives that would accomplish the task of sort of making the judiciary a co-equal branch of government and therefore enabling better equal justice under the law. And probably the most important thing is to give the governor a meaningful role in the judicial selection process. A lot of different ways you could do that. And then the other thing is remedying the conflict of interest between that is present when lawyer legislators vote on the judges before whom they try cases.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is and so the weird thing about that is the General Assembly elects, or the Senate does, workers' compensation committee members. And that's a judicial role. And so in those instances, all of the workers' comp attorneys in the Senate recuse themselves from the debate and from the votes on workers' comp commissioners.
Right.
But those very same attorneys who also track cases before circuit court judges do not recuse themselves on circuit court judges or appeals court or so on and so forth. And so if they're recusing for good and obvious reasons on workers' comp commissioners, they also ought to recuse on circuit court, Supreme Court, appeals court, depending on what kind of law they practice, and remedy that conflict of interest. I mean, I think lawyer legislators should either A, not vote on the judges, or B, not try cases in front of the judges. But you shouldn't be able to do both.
Well, with considering how many lawyers are down there in the legislature.
A little under half.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a lot of recusing.
It would. And it ought to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's just not a matter of, good faith to
right.
do it.
The conflict of interest is so obvious. It requires no explanation. People understand it, and it's got to change.
I'm just wondering why the Senate president, for instance, if he brings up you for a judge,
yeah,
and he sees everybody voting for you, and he doesn't say, hey, you, over there, aren't you a lawyer? Don't you try cases? And verbally, publicly, say, you should be recusing yourself.
They should, yeah.
Well, okay. So you think it's going to happen in the Senate side?
it is a fool's errand betting on legislative outcomes, as I've learned. But it does seem likely. The political will seems to be there among senators to move something early in the next session, and not just move something, but move legislation that makes a big difference in mitigating this conflict of interest.
So one thing that you worked on quite a bit was the elimination of the certificate of need.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Years.
Years. That's right. So it's a fait accompli. It's done.
It's done. It's been enacted by the governor, signing ceremony.
Done.
Done.
Finished.
Yeah.
So is it too soon to tell whether or not it's having the kind of impact that you had hoped it would?
Not at all too soon to tell. I mean, you can Google or, you know, whatever, look up online instances from all across the state where healthcare providers are investing tens or in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars in projects, and specifically because the certificate of need is no longer the law.
Right.
And over time, I mean, if you measure this change in terms of decades, it will be tens of billions of dollars in capital investment in healthcare that flows into South Carolina simply because the General Assembly finally got government out of the way of healthcare investment.
Right. And you set it up as a free enterprise system.
Right. And so more competition, more choice for patients, higher quality services at lower prices. That is what competition always does.
And of course, the impetus behind this was our own local case here.
Yeah.
I mean, Piedmont Medical Center took them 15 years
yeah,
to get a certificate of need approval.
That was,
and millions of dollars.
And that loomed large in the General Assembly's debate in both the House and the Senate. I mean, that was cited a lot. Another example that is really searing to me is a local oncologist, you know, here who sees patients in Rock Hill. This is some years ago, told me that as part of their practice's annual negotiations with the hospital where they had admitting privileges, they told the hospital, this oncologist told the hospital, they were going to invest money in new, better radiation therapy services for their cancer patients.
Right.
And the hospital CEO told him, "No, you're not. I have the financial resources to nuke you." And what he meant was, don't even go down the road of trying to get a certificate of need and getting these radiation therapy services for your patients, because I'm going to tie you up in litigation for a decade.
Right.
And so, I mean, think about the logic involved there, where this hospital CEO, in the interest of protecting market share for his hospital, is denying cancer patients essential health care services.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the circumstance that no longer exists in South Carolina, but did govern our state for four decades.
Well, kudos to you and the rest of the team that got that out of the way.
Big team effort. And a big shout-out to our good buddy Heath Sessions, who played a very big role in that in the House.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, the good doc's all teed up. He knows what's coming. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. Anybody who's anybody knows how we do it here at Substation 2. But for those of you who are not familiar, it's in the white letters, and you can say it with us. Are we ready? At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too. We won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Senator Wes Clymer is with us. We're taking a look at a couple of easy little issues. Solving all the problems. So I told you last night I happened to bump into a gentleman who has recently set up shop here in York County. He lives up in Fort Mill. And he had lived, he's from the Pittsburgh area, but lived down in Florida. And we got talking about all the things going on in the state of South Carolina. And he asked me a question. He says, when are you all going to eliminate your income tax, because that's what he was used to down there in Florida. And I said, well, you know, we made a stab at it. The legislature last year changed the rates, the top rates, and I've forgotten what it was, a half a percent.
Fellow York County legislator Harvey Peeler, chairman of the Finance Committee, his first year on the Finance Committee, cut taxes by $2 billion.
There you go.
Yeah.
So how would you answer the gentleman who has just resided, picked York County to live in, about getting rid of the income tax?
Yeah, so... what is the Reaganism? If you want more of something, subsidize it. If you want less of something, tax it. Right? So think carefully about the things you tax, because the things you tax, you'll get less of. Well, we don't want less of earnings. Right? We don't want to create economic disincentives to earning. And so just as a general matter, we should not have an income tax at all. And then the way to provide essential government services without having an income tax is to shift that revenue stream further in the direction of consumption taxes, which is sales taxes. And so the state exempts a huge, huge portion of the economy from sales tax. And really the thing that is exempted from sales taxes that ought to be brought into the sales tax arena is services, right? What I do for a living. I'm a financial advisor. Attorneys, CPAs, the hair salon, a massage place. Just think about services. Services are untaxed. If the salon were treated the same way as the hardware store in terms of taxation, we could eliminate the income tax and have much lower sales tax rates just by broadening the base and treating different industries fairly from the standpoint of sales taxes.
And yet that's a very hard concept.
It's a very hard thing to do, yeah.
Why is that? I mean, it's as far as being fair, it is the fairest system. Now, some people would say, well, what about groceries? Should we tax groceries?
The state exempts groceries from sales taxation right now, and that should remain.
Medicine?
I would leave that exemption in place. And, energy, your electric bill, those kinds of things. I mean,
so it seems like it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're already paying a sales tax on just about everything,
yeah,
except what you say, these services.
Right.
You're going to pay a tax right here at Charlie's.
Yeah, prepared food, you pay a tax.
You pay a tax. That's right.
Yeah.
But if the
tax base, as it were broadened to include more categories of commerce, then rates could come down for everything. We could eliminate the income tax, and, we'd still have enough money to pay teachers and state troopers and do the things you want state government to do. Now, I will say this, too. The people of South Carolina are massively overtaxed. Taxes, the government collects too much revenue, and taxes need to come down. We need serious, serious tax cuts. The General Assembly, or the state budget, runs, $800 million, $1.2 billion, $1.8 surpluses routinely. That is clear evidence that the people are overtaxed. And so real tax reform and, equally importantly, tax cuts are important to our economic viability going forward.
Yeah, we've had no trouble spending the money.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. So is there any appetite for changing this tax code and going the consumption route?
There is. I mean, yeah, if you ask 46 senators, all 46 senators would tell you, yes, we should do all of these things. How precisely to do them is where it falls off the rails, where it becomes very complicated. Typically, tax reform doesn't happen in years where revenues are tight, where there's not a big surplus. I checked in with the budget folks maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it appears as though tax revenues are still coming in pretty significantly, and there would likely be something in the neighborhood of maybe an $800 million surplus next year. And that is plenty of fiscal flexibility for the General Assembly to finally do what is necessary to fix the tax code.
So will Senator Clymer introduce a piece of legislation?
I am working on one, and I don't know if that's the best course or if having amendments on some of the others that have been introduced is a better course. But yes, I mean, I've had lots of hours of staff time hammering out details of a tax bill, and maybe I'll come back and give Straight Talk the exclusive.
Attaboy.
When we introduce that.
You're talking, you're thinking right way. Glad to see you're falling in line after all these years. Good for you. Well, that's good. Well, we're going to run out of time here, as I anticipated. So let me ask you very quickly about, you know, big issue across the country, particularly here in your county, and that is the whole issue of affordable housing. I mean, who would have ever thought in Rock Hill an entry-level house would be in a $300,000 level? I mean, it's crazy.
Sure.
Absolutely crazy. Is there a role for government in this? I mean, it's all about supply and demand right now. I got it. I understand.
Yeah, that's right. This is
free enterprise.
It is fundamentally a supply-demand imbalance.
Yeah.
There is more demand than there is supply, and in any market where demand exceeds supply, prices rise. So if for those who are very sincere about attempting to provide more affordable housing, what they're really saying is we need a lot more houses. Now, that runs into a lot of political opposition from those who have very legitimate concerns about growth. And so as a consequence of that tension, growth and all of its sort of downstream consequences and the concurrent desire to have affordable housing, those decisions really are best made at the local level. I mean, I think the people of Fort Mill would probably answer this question very differently than would the people of Rock Hill or Chester or Clover. And communities ought to have the liberty to make those decisions for themselves without a great deal of intrusion from the state.
Right. Well, there's so many factors involved with this. You know, the price of land, the price of materials, the price of labor. It goes up and up and up and up. I thought to myself, if somebody who had a whole bunch of acreage said, I'm just going to donate this to the community so we can build some houses.
They would run into a lot of zoning problems.
They would. Well, let's just...
Yeah. I mean, government is substantially responsible for the higher housing costs. I mean, if you talk to somebody who builds houses, between escalating costs associated with building codes, between the zoning and the planning, and all of the costs associated with that, the delays, so on and so forth, government is a huge piece of the price of a house.
We got 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
What do you want to get your teeth into this next session, other than what we just talked about?
Yeah, beyond that, I mean, we really need to make another serious investment in raising teacher pay.
Yeah.
That simply has to happen. South Carolina is not unique in having a shortage of teachers and many, many great teachers who are frustrated.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's a nationwide issue, but we've got to make a lot of investment in educating our children a more attractive profession for folks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of issues on that. We'll pick that up next time.
Look forward to it.
All right.
Yeah.
State Senator Wes Clymer, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Thank you very much. All right. What do we do here at Substation 2? This guy over here with the Clemson jersey on knows what we're going to do. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula is in the white letters. And at the count of three, we are all going to join in, including you, Clemson guy, because I know you can read. Are you ready at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. We'll see you tonight on the radio for high school football. It begins on the OTS Sports Network at 6 o'clock. Bye.